Meeting tonight, and it's going to be posted to the audio version of it is going to be posted to our CB11 webpage. So we talked about last month some things we might do to make things a little bit easier in terms of people being able to identify who's speaking. So I'm going to ask people tonight to just try and when you speak to say your name before you do. And who you're with, if you're a member of the board or if you're representing an organization because you're speaking your public participation or something of that nature, just so that people can be aware when they're listening to the recording of who it is that's speaking in case they don't recognize the voice and they're not on the board. Okay, so with that, I'm just going to call this meeting to order. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This is the January 2021 edition of Queens Community Board 11. Bringing in the new year. My name is Mike Budovin. I'm the chair of the board. As usual, I'm joined by first vice chair, Christine Hayter, second vice chair, Victor Dadris, and third vice chair, Henry Euler, and by our district office staff, Joe Marzliano, Christina Catino, and Jane Bentivenga. So just to give you guys the usual reminder, we're still doing Zoom meetings in 2021, something I know we all wish we weren't. But given that we are, please do try and stay cognizant of the fact that it's a little bit easier to interrupt each other during these meetings than it would be in person. So please leave your phone or computer on mute during the meeting if you're not actively speaking. It'll also help us reduce background noise. Joe from the office and I are the hosts of the meeting, and we have the ability to mute people. So we'll be unmuting people in order to conduct roll call, take any board votes. And once you've been called on and responded, we ask that you please mute your line once again. And to please be patient with us if we do experience any unexpected technical difficulties. I just do want to note, you saw it on our welcome screen that Community Board 11 does have an active Facebook page, Instagram account, Twitter account. We're trying to be more active on social media, so we do encourage those in attendance tonight to check us out on social media and follow us. It's a great way to get information about what things that are going on in the community. And also information from the board, including things that are a part of our weekly digest. Before we get started with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I just wanted to mention one thing. I know there's been some news in the community lately, and people are interested in the proposed homeless shelter in Douglaston. And in case there is any confusion, that is not on the agenda for our general board meeting tonight. We will talk about how we're going to be dealing with that in committee this month, but it is not on the agenda for the board meeting tonight. So if you join this board meeting thinking that we are going to be discussing that proposed homeless shelter in depth, we will not be doing so tonight. So I just wanted to give people that note in advance. So if that's what you were here for, there's no reason to wait around if you'd otherwise not do so. That's not going to be part of the agenda. Well, with that, I think we can get started with our virtual Pledge of Allegiance. Joe's going to share a picture of the American flag on our screen so we can all see it. And you're welcome to stand up where you are and join along with us as we say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic
from which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
I'm sorry, can I ask a quick question?
Okay. Who was that?
My name is Fu Sheng.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chung, I'm sorry. I have to say no. If you're not a member of the board and you didn't sign up for public participation, we can't have people speaking in the meeting. It's just out of order.
Understood.
So if you have something that you're interested in, just please contact our office and you're welcome to do that. And if you'd like to sign up for public participation at a meeting, you're welcome to do so.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Of course. Thank you. Okay, so it is time for public participation, and I would like to give a note of welcome to representatives of our local elected officials who joined us tonight, so thank you for doing so. Are we joined by the 111th tonight?
Doesn't look like it.
Okay, so the 111th was not able to make it. Yeah, that is what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that we gave them the opportunity if they were here. So I think Sue from Councilmember Grudnenchik's office, I believe you wanted to say a few words tonight and spoke to the office in advance. Is that right?
Yes. I just wanted to make an announcement. First, a happy new year to everyone. It's okay, just got to get better than what the last one was, and I hope everyone stays well and stays safe. Everything was kind of quiet, but now, of course, it's going to get a little busier. And the councilman has organized a property tax workshop for homeowners on January 14th at 4 p.m. via Zoom, of course. And you do have to register in advance. I have sent the flyer to the office. Christina has it. And if anyone is interested, they can, she can forward it to them, or you can contact the councilman's office about it. It will deal with how to read your property tax bill, what discounts might be available, how to debate your, how to question your tax, and any other questions you might have for the Department of Finance. We're also in February going to organize a seminar on the ranked voting, which is going to start with the primary in June. It will first be tried out in the special election at the 24th council district coming up in February. So we're going to do a, as I said, a seminar on how that ranked voting is going to work, where you have, you rank in order of preference the people, the person you would want to elect to office. So we're want to explain how it will work so everyone understands. And those are my announcements. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Really appreciate
somebody
that.
Somebody has a question, I think.
I do. Albert Gallatin. Is the rent being is that going to be taped?
What?
I can't, the rent program. Not the rent program, the property tax program. I can't make it.
Oh,
I need to
come up. Well, we do them periodically, but I would have to ask Al, and someone can get back to you and let you know if there's some place you can see it on. The Department of Finance might have it taped. I will find that out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Albert, and thank you, Sue. We appreciate that. So just moving on the public participation here, excuse me. We have Mike Lyons from the Bay Community Volunteer Ambulance Corps sign up to speak. Mr. Lyons, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Good evening. My name is Mike Lyons. I'm from the Bay Community Volunteer Ambulance Corps. Just want to thank the community board for receiving our request and scheduling the health committee meeting for us on January 21st. So thankful that you received our communication and that we'll be able to give a presentation to your committee. That's all I have.
Okay, Mr. Lyons, thank you. Yes, and we will be announcing that again later on in our announcements for the month ahead. So yes, we have the meeting on the 21st and looking forward to speaking to you then. Okay, so I think that is actually it for public participation tonight and moves us on to roll call. So I just want to address-
Mike, yeah? The representative from Assemblywoman Rosick's office had her hand up to speak, and that I don't think you noticed her.
Okay, was that Isabel who wanted to speak?
Isabel, she had her hand up to speak.
Thank you, Laura.
Uh-huh.
Quick announcement. Happy New Year to everyone. We are also co-hosting a ranked choice voting training with the Campaign Finance Board this week to further educate folks on the new way to vote. Just to echo what Susan said, the first election that's using ranked choice voting is going to be next month. And although it's not for a race in this community board specifically, eventually everyone's going to need to know how to vote this way. So if you want to get ahead of the game and learn about it, look out for the Zoom link on the Assemblywoman's social media, or you can reach out to our office and we'll send over the flyer. We're happy to for anyone that's interested. Thank you.
But you were actually breaking up a little bit there, unless I was the only one here.
Mike, you're breaking up.
Yeah, she came in clear.
It's you, Mike. You were breaking up.
Everybody needs to mute themselves. That's what's happening.
Okay, I think okay. Am I a little better now, guys?
Yeah. Ugh.
All right.
Actually, frozen.
Having some internet problems, guys. I apologize. Yep. Give me a second. I'm going to move to a different part of my house here. Please just bear with me. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 second.
I guess just in the interim,
getting a slightly different backdrop here.
just while Mike is finding greener internet pastures, it's John Gallo from Senator Liu's office. Just real quick, just to piggyback off of what the other elected representatives were saying. Obviously, the city session, you know, comes into order and focus on the reg choice. But I just want to remind folks that the Albany session is starting this Wednesday. So the assembly members and Senator Liu and the rest of the Senate are going to be up in Albany and start the budget process and the session and, you know, moving on legislation that impacts and better helps serve the community that we're a part of here. And just to that point, I'll mention that the eviction and foreclosure moratorium, there was a piece of legislation that did get enacted. And that is not just for tenants, but also for homeowners who are facing eviction on the due to foreclosure, and even small landlords. So if you have any questions about those pieces of policy that you may be hearing in the press, feel free to reach out to our office to follow up. I'll leave my contact in the chat. And thanks again, Mike and Joe and the CB11 for the Auburndale PPE distro event a few weeks ago. Hopefully Mike's got some good internet now.
Of course, John. Of course, John. Thanks very much and appreciate that. Okay. So I think I've moved hopefully to an area of my home with a little better reception at the moment. So you get the beautiful fluorescent lighting in the background, but hopefully I'm at least clear. So with that, I think we move on to roll call. So we are going to conduct roll call now, followed by the acceptance of the minutes from our December meeting, which were circulated in advance. So please just bear with us while we just go through each board member's name for attendance, and then we do.
Okay, so folks.
We'll vote on the acceptance of the minutes. Mention one thing. People had suggested that maybe we can do this at the same time. But unfortunately, we need to establish who's here at the meeting before we can take any motions on the floor, such as to accept the minutes. So we do have to go through it one after the other. So please do bear with us and I apologize for the slight inconvenience.
Okay. Scylla?
Here.
Aviles?
Present.
Bale?
Present.
Stein? Bravo?
Present.
Budabin? Cerezo? Present.
Here.
Chu? Here. Justin? Chin? Claro? Ocelia? Payato? Daedris?
Here.
December?
Here.
Di Benedetto?
Here.
Donahue?
Here.
Euler?
Here.
Here.
Ferrazzoli? Filas? Freed?
Yeah.
Gallatin?
Yep.
Garippa?
Here.
Gillespie? Barber? Golia?
Present.
Jadis?
Here.
Haber?
Present.
Hader? Christine, you here?
I saw her.
Thought I saw her too. Okay. James?
Here.
Jethwani?
Yeah.
Jin? Stan? Kelly?
Here.
Linda Lee?
Here.
Joseph Lee?
Here.
Liotto?
Here.
Martino?
Here.
Mahaltzis? Miller? Eileen? Okay, I'm looking at you, Eileen. I see you. Montgomery?
Yep.
Paulzer?
Here.
Patel?
Yeah.
Pelbier? Pavour? Steve?
I'm here, Wendy.
Oh, gotcha, Wendy. Okay, Popa?
Here.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Here.
Shiram? Jyoti? Okay, I'm looking at you, Jyoti. You're here. Turner?
Here.
And Wong?
Here.
Okay.
Did you hear me?
Yes, well, I Mary heard you, Donahue. Mary. I heard you, Mary.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, folks, we do have a quorum.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. So now it's time to vote on the acceptance of the December meeting minutes. Those were distributed in advance. Do I have a motion to approve the December minutes?
So motion.
Make the motion.
Okay, I heard Christine. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I heard Stefan. So we're now going to take a roll call vote on approving the minutes. Joe?
Okay, sorry. One second, folks.
Does he have to unmute you?
Okay, folks. Scylla?
Yes. Scylla? Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Yes. I approve.
Avilas?
Yes.
Bale?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Udubin?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Cayado? Carmen? Deidres? Victor?
Yes.
December?
Yes.
Di Benedetto?
I'm sorry, this is Carmen. I just want to make sure that you heard that I say yes.
Okay, all right, now I have you, Carmen.
Thank you.
Well, your wallet, you take some.
Di Benedetto?
Approve.
Donahue?
You do?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Berzoli? Filas? Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yep.
Garippa?
Yes.
Gillespie? Golia?
Yes.
Jadis?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Dithwani?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
You skipped Hayter. You skipped Christine Hayter.
She here now?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Chris. Okay, good.
Yes.
All right, hold on. Wait, let me make sure I mark you here. Okay. Linda Lee?
Not here. Yes.
Yosef Lee?
She's not
here. Liotto?
Yes.
Martino? Floor?
Yes.
Miller?
Yeah, yes, I agree, yeah.
Montgomery?
Yeah.
Paulzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram? Jyoti?
She was just here.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now, Jyoti. Turner?
Yes.
And Wong?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously.
Okay, great. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody. So just moving on, it's time for my announcements, just to talk a little bit about what's happened in the past month. So we did have a Douglaston Zoning Committee meeting on the 21st, where we talked about a potential change to the car wash in Douglaston. Thanks to Doug for chairing that meeting and for everyone who participated. We'll talk about that briefly tonight. We also had a Health Committee meeting that was chaired by Eileen on the 16th, just to go over some updates on COVID. Eileen, appreciate the information passed on there, and thanks again to everybody who attended. We also, as was mentioned by John from Senator Liu's office, conducted a PPE giveaway outside the Auburndale train station this month. And this was just a little bit of an important one for us, because it marked the point now where we've done a PPE giveaway in every single portion of our community, every neighborhood that makes up our district. So I just want to say thank you to everyone from the board and from the various elected officials' office that's participated in these. I'm very proud of it. It's been really an effort, a lot of getting up early on trying to get out there and connect with the community in a helpful way, notwithstanding the challenges of the pandemic. So really appreciate the work done by Joe and everyone at the office and the members of the board and our elected officials' offices who've participated in that. So thank you to all of you. And we really wanted to get that in 2020, and we were able to do so. So that was great. More sober news is there has been an additional round of budget cuts. And again, in keeping with what we've been doing, I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of this and that there was transparency on our budgetary situation. The good news is that thanks to some great leadership from our committee, our committees, and our office, we've been in a net positive situation with our budget. So we did have surplus that allowed us to absorb these cuts. It was a little bit over $3,600 for this fiscal year, but it is going to come out of a surplus that we had. So we are okay, and we are going to continue to be okay if everything stays as it is for the rest of this fiscal year. But we need to keep an eye on it. There will be additional cuts that were announced for next fiscal year, and we'll incorporate those into our plans at that time. But I just wanted to make sure that everybody was getting the update on what was going on in that regard. Similarly, we've gotten some what appear to be standard audits going on with some of our internal policies and procedures from various city agencies. And we're sort of just dealing with those in the ordinary course. They just have to do with some of our internal policies that we have going on. So just wanted to announce those as well. The other point that I wanted to mention, which you know we're going to be dealing with in the upcoming month through committee, is just the homeless shelter, because I'm sure a lot of folks who are on the board have either heard about this in the news or possibly been talking with other constituents and members of the community through various other organizations that they're a part of. So we will be dealing with this issue, as we have any other issue that would affect our community. We're going to be referring it to committee. So we are going to have a joint committee meeting of the Douglaston Zoning Committee and the Health and Human Services Committee later this month to talk about it, and we'll sort of proceed from there. There'll be a presentation on that from the city, from DHS, to talk about it, and we're going to report on that next month at the monthly meeting, and we're going to sort of just take things from there. So I just sort of wanted to let people know about that. That's all I had for my announcements, which brings us to board member new business. I know, Henry, that you wanted to speak. Is Henry here?
Yes, I am. I'm right here. First of all,
okay, go ahead.
I wanted to give the Board of Standards and Appeals report. There was only one case that was heard from our community board in December, December 14th. There was the case of the gas station down at 205 Horace Harding Expressway that we had voted in favor for. He wants an amendment to his variance so that he can build an additional bay and a convenience store on his lot. This station owner is very responsible. He's done practically everything that the BSA has asked him to do. He's still working on enclosing his dumpster, doing some landscaping, and repairing one of the sidewalk flags. So they closed the case, and the decision is coming in March, giving him time to complete all of the things that he has to complete. As a officer of the Auburndale Improvement Association, I also wanted to thank Community Board 11 for coming to the Auburndale Station last week to hand out the PPE giveaways. Thank you to Senator Liu, to Akshar, to Joe and to Mike for their efforts and for all their efforts throughout all the communities in our board. I think it's great. And finally, I just wanted to report on a problem that's persisting in Auburndale with regards to snow removal. We had met in September. We had a joint meeting of the Environmental Committee and the Transportation Committee. Sanitation representatives came. In Auburndale, we have lots of streets where the sidewalk and the curb are right next to each other. So when the plows come through and the street, the sidewalks have already been cleared, what happens is the snow goes right back on the sidewalk and it requires that the homeowner come out and redo their sidewalk. Well, that happened again during the last snowstorm on December 17th and 18th. In fact, it happened twice. The homeowners had come out to clear their sidewalk and the plows came through and the snow went back on the sidewalk. And one lady had just gotten out of the hospital and she was lucky enough that her neighbors cleared her sidewalk for her. And then the next day they came through again and the snow got right back on the sidewalk again. And again, that had to be cleared off. Now we're very thankful for all the work that sanitation does. I mean, they do a great job clearing the snow and the ice, but this is a situation that is persistent and really needs to be addressed. Now, I know it also is happening in other areas in our community board. I know John Kelly's neighborhood has a similar problem. What my civic is requesting is to have another meeting with the sanitation officials. Now, we've been in contact with them, and we did get a response back from the Deputy Director of Consumer Affairs for the Sanitation Department. And, you know, they said they'll speak to the people that are doing the plowing. They're going to try to look into the situation. But we need a plan of action. We need to have a procedure that they should be following so that this does not happen. And hopefully if we meet with them again, something can be worked out. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Henry. Yeah, John, just one second. I have one other person who I know wanted to speak, and then I'm now calling you. So just to respond to that, Henry, I agree with you. You know, I think we had this meeting. We specifically raised this issue. They had said that they were going to respond to it, and then the issue comes up specifically again. So I do think that we need to reengage on this, and I think that we need to ask for something more, because obviously whatever we did at the last meeting didn't have enough of an effect. And, you know, if that's going to happen, you know, look, we all appreciate what Department of Sanitation does, but if we raise an issue to them and it's specific and we sort of go to the trouble and people go through the trouble of coming out to a meeting to give specific locations where they're having specific problems and those same specific problems happen again at those specific locations, the very first snowstorm, I think it's reasonable to say that, you know, the issue hasn't been addressed. We need to follow up again and we need to get a little bit of a better response on this point. You know, something from DSNY to deal with it.
Thank you.
May I just say something?
I appreciate the thanks. Sorry, who was that?
Mary.
May I say something? Mary Donahue.
Mary? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Mary, just give me 1 second. I just want to make sure we're going. Mary, I'm sorry. Mary, I'm sorry. Just give me 1 second. I want to speak, hear you, and I want to hear John. But I know Justin had asked us in advance to speak. Let me just, Justin, are you okay if we just get these two comments in here? Because I think they're both going to relate to the snowplow issue before we move on to you.
Right, the snowplow issue.
Okay.
That's what I was going to speak
Let me
about.
Just go to John first because he had his hand raised, Mary, and then I'm going to go to you, and then we'll go over to Justin, okay? John, go
Very
ahead.
Very good.
Thank you. So, Henry, thanks for bringing that up. You actually preempted me. I wanted to talk about it. They actually did improve snow plowing here. So at the snowstorm, there was no snow that was pushed on the sidewalk over here. So it looks like they somewhat listened to the issue, but if you're having problems there, we need to sort of readdress this on a bigger thing. So let me know if you want me to come and sort of help out with that. But it looks like some of the message got through at least. So I think it's interesting that part of the district got improved and part of it didn't.
Thank you, John.
That is good to know, John. Appreciate that. And probably make the message at least a little bit easier to communicate if we've had some positive movement, even if it's not been total. So that's good news at least. And thanks for passing that on. Mary?
Yeah, the day after the snowstorm, I had my sidewalk all cleaned, and it was dry. And at 11 o'clock in the morning, a orange truck, sanitation truck, came along and filled
where there were two cars not parked. They've put all the snow that was in the street, and this was not snow that I put in there because I put it up and over my wall. All right, but they cleared the street, and it was back on my sidewalk, all the snow. And I have pictures of it. I have pictures of mine. I have pictures of, they did it to the man that lives across the street from me. And also the third one, which was on the corner of 193rd and 46th Avenue that Henry spoke about, that was like completely covered again, completely. And the next day, I believe it was, I noticed two sanitation men, and we have community driveways over there. And I went running out to talk to them because I thought they were came to clean the sidewalks, but they told me no, they'd had orders to clean out the community driveways. And they were like just about finished. And I asked them, I said, well, look, please, could you please clean this woman's sidewalk? She just came out of the hospital. It was cleaned. It was dumped on last night. And now it was dumped again. So they went over and they said, well, we have these, the heavy equipment, but they managed to do quite a bit of it. So that, at least that was something. And then I asked them if they could do mine. And they came and they did mine quickly also, most of it. So, but they did not know about this. They were just there for the driveways. And we had the intent, I thought that we had, we're not going to have driveways cleared anymore. So I was surprised that they were there for the driveways. The last I had heard from Board 11 was that during snowstorms, sanitation does not come and clean the community driveways. So this was quite, I didn't expect them there for that. I thought they were there to come and clean because all three residents actually called 311 and filed reports. That's what the person that spoke from sanitation told us to do. That to me, that was the only thing he suggested: call 311 and complain. Right. We did complain all about our own, and well, we have reports numbers for that.
I think it is good that you called 311. Joe, they are still cleaning the community driveways during snowstorms, right?
No. If it's private property, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah, no, not on private property. No, agreed. Okay, well, Mary, I appreciate that comment. It's good for us to know that. I'm glad that you guys called 311. I think just in furtherance of what you've said and what Henry said, we do need to reconvene on this issue. It's clearly important to people. And it does sound like, you know, hopefully the message, at least part of the message, did get through in John's area. And hopefully we can continue that. And it sounds like we have particular areas of our neighborhood where it's a bigger issue for people and a more consistent issue for people because of the nature of the sidewalks and the grassy area or lack thereof between the sidewalks and the street. And frankly, what your story tells, I think, is pretty consistent with what a lot of us have seen from DSNY, which is that they're actually pretty thoughtful and helpful in these situations, but that we're dealing with sort of a citywide policy that isn't really intended to deal with some of these, you know, unique individualized situations. And if we can just get a little bit of focus on those situations, usually they're pretty helpful. So I'm hopeful that if we can continue to sort of pinpoint these areas in the community where we'd like a little bit of special attention paid to avoid some of these problems, particularly for some of the senior citizens in the area, I'm hopeful that we can accomplish something here where these issues don't arise anymore. Yes?
Mohan.
Okay, Mohan, please, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Very simple question. We understand that driveways are private property. They should go there. But what happens to the snow banks that they leave in front of the driveway? We can't really clean those many times.
Yeah, and that's a common, it's a common problem. And frankly, I'm not sure there's much that's going to be able to be done about that in the end, because what we're talking about there is when they plow the streets and you want to clear your driveway out so you get access to the street, and I deal with this. I don't know that there's any way for them to plow the street without putting some kind of blockage on somebody's driveway when they do that. You know, if you want to come and talk to them about that at the meeting, you know, we can. But from my perspective, the areas where we have the best chance of success are where there are particular circumstances that differentiate one portion of our neighborhood through, you know, from most of the rest of the city. In this case, that there's no grassy portion of the sidewalk for the snow to go up on when it comes off the street. And that's an area where we can sort of ask for some special treatment. But from the driveway perspective, I think that's kind of a citywide problem for everybody who's got a driveway.
But there's a plenty of a space between the driveway of two houses. That's where they could dump, not just in front of the driveway.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on it, Mohan, but I think what you're going to hear from them is that's challenging. But that being said, we're going to set this meeting up again because I think we want to provide feedback, and you're welcome to come and give them that feedback, and we can hear what they can do about it. Because hopefully, you know, if they have a way to fix that up, I'm certainly down with it. I cannot stand clearing my driveway over and over again. It's I love having a driveway, but I don't like shoveling the driveway. Okay, so Justin had asked to say a few words tonight. Justin, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just speaking on behalf of Catherine Bresler, who is the new deputy director for community boards for Queensborough President Donovan Richards. She apologizes she can't make it today. She definitely intends to come to future meetings, but she just had another meeting that coincided with this one. So she just wants to extend her welcome. And also, because of the rising COVID rates recently, she wants to know where we can set up maybe a mobile testing unit in our district. Just the stipulations that are for a mobile testing unit is that there needs to be an accessible bathroom for the employees of the mobile unit, and also it can't be near a school or senior center. So she's just wondering, she's asking the community board, where would be a good location for a COVID mobile testing unit?
Great, thanks, Justin. And Joe, we communicated a couple of suggestions in that regard. Is that right?
Yeah. One location that jumps to mind, just because of the fact that I believe KCS is in the works as a site. I see Linda shaking her head yes, and we'd help to set that up. And also the Windsor Park Library is a testing site. My suggestion was at Northern and Bell, over by the main thoroughfare over there, near the BID. Would be a very good location. Considering it's very close to very close to an orange zone, and at the same time it's a high traffic area, and it's a part of the community that's not served in relation to the most close orange zone that we have, you know, hopefully the borough president's office is looking at the maps a little bit more than I am. I'm sure they'll have some good ideas as well. So we'll keep that conversation going.
Yeah, and just in that regard, if anyone who's a member of the board, or frankly anyone who's here at the meeting tonight, has another suggestion or has a contact that thinks that they've got a good lead on a place for a mobile testing site or any other kind of testing site, please do contact the office. We're in communication with folks on these matters, and they're reaching out to us, and we all want to be as helpful as we can. And you know, the worst that can happen is we can reach out to people and it doesn't work. There's no harm in making a suggestion. So please do engage with us. Let us know if you have any suggestions. You can just send an email to our office email, and we'll respond and we'll push it forward through proper channels. It's important, obviously, that we're trying to do what we can here through this difficult time. I know, Linda, you wanted to say something as well tonight for new business?
Yeah, actually, it's a perfect segue. So Justin, real quick, we actually did do a mobile testing for about a week or so at KCS in the past, so we could easily try to coordinate again. And actually, the announcement I wanted to make is we're partnering with Health and Hospitals, H&H, to provide free self-tests for COVID that are, like, I actually tried it twice. And it's really interesting because you're sitting across from a nurse or someone who's gone through the training and literally sticking the thing up your nose, and they're telling you how much further to go. And then they pack it in the little tube and then send it off the same day. And it's really quick. I did it twice already, and I was able to get my results in 2 days. So we're offering it every Mondays at KCS between 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it's totally free. There's no appointment necessary. It's actually really quick. And we're making sure that we keep people in line if there is a line, you know, in a socially distant way. And we're taking temperatures of everyone that comes in. And so for now, we're doing it definitely for sure until end of February, which is, I think the 22nd is the last Monday in February. And we'll see if it gets extended after that, beyond that. But if you guys want to come, you know, if you don't want to wait on the lines in other places, you can feel free. And if you want, just, you know, text me or email me, because I'm usually in the office on Mondays. And so I'll just make sure that you guys are, you know, taken care of.
Speak.
Thank you very much, Linda. We really appreciate that. And thank you to KCS for offering that important service. Really fantastic. Floor, I saw that you had your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to add to what Linda said. Around where the Windsor Park testing site, I live very close to that site, and the lines have been astronomical, especially on the weekends with the spike in cases. So I think adding a mobile unit that maybe can move to a few different areas would be very productive. And I also wanted to say I work for health and hospitals, and that any person or any household rather that has someone that has tested positive gets a take care package that is filled with PPE, with gloves, masks, sanitizer, a pulse oximeter, and some other things that are very, and wipes that are very hard to come by. And any person that is a contact of a case will receive at-home tests. So that is a lot of people. So, you know, in addition to what KCS is doing and other facilities, giving PPE and tests out to people, that these people actually get them in the mail within a couple of days.
Thank you so much, Floor. Appreciate that information. And I agree, if we can, the more testing sites that we can add, the better. So we should work to do that, and we'll keep making suggestions, as requested. Al, I see you have your hand up there.
KCS stands for what?
Grand Community Services.
Yes.
Okay, where is it located?
It's where we have the community board meetings.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be there tomorrow.
Where we had the community.
Oh, Mondays.
It's only done on Mondays?
Mondays from 9 to 12, yep.
Okay.
I remember that big building with the ballroom?
Yeah. Thank you. And the line at Windsor Park, like she said, has been crazy. And the line at every place I go to, the lines for testing have been really, really long.
Well, I mean, Mike, if I may say, since they need bathroom access, we can offer our office, if you want to put it on Bell Boulevard anywhere. So if you want to do a mobile testing, so we can do it around our office. So
that's helpful, Akshar. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Use our name.
Joe, Akshar has volunteered the office over there. So let's pass that on as well.
Okay.
Ty, Florida, did you have something further?
I just thought in terms of a mobile unit that maybe can go to more than one area as needed, maybe it could be accompanied by a portasan.
Yep, that's a good idea. I don't know, frankly, what the logistical capabilities of these units are, but we can talk to them about that. And
they're easy to clean, too.
Okay, good to know. And we can pass that on.
Thank you.
That's a good idea. Okay, any other board member new business? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody.
I have Doug's hand up.
Doug, go ahead.
Two things. I just want to be really clear about the proposed homeless shelter. The meeting is the 12th. It's being co-chaired with Eileen and myself. It's not a general public meeting. So if people have questions, they should get them to people on the committees prior to, so they can be presented at the meeting. I've had people in my office for the last 3 days beyond belief. They don't know what's going on. They're very frustrated. They're going to want to speak, but they're not allowed to speak on the 12th. So you have to make, if you speak to people that want to get their voice heard, they have to realize that it's not the time for them to speak on the 12th. And number two, I just want to let you know. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
No, please go ahead, Doug. I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, it was my bad.
Number two is, you know, the Douglasson Garden Club, which I was president for 5 years, vice president for 2 years, have been involved with for over 20 years, is celebrating its 100th anniversary in March. You can't say that about a lot of organizations in this area. It's stronger than it's been in ages. We have 120, 130 members right now. It's all to beautify the area. And I've already spoken to the politicians about doing something, but I think we should, as a community board, do something also for them, because it's a pretty astonishing accomplishment that an organization like that has survived for 100 years. They were around before the Federated Garden Clubs of New York State was formed. They're one of the original ones. So they've been around since 21. It's now 21. So I honestly hope that we can get together and do something for them. That's it.
Okay, that's a good suggestion, Doug. Appreciate that. We'll take that into consideration. I'll talk to the office about it. Definitely want to be engaging with organizations in the community. So just want to say something quickly about the meeting on the 12th. I was going to talk about it in the month ahead section. Ben, I see your hand. Christine, I see your hand. Everything Doug said is correct. The initial meeting that we're holding here is a committee meeting where we're going to get a presentation, where we're going to hear information. Obviously, every month we have the ability for people to participate publicly, and we're going to start with this committee meeting and sort of move things forward from there. What we want to do is make sure that we're able to start off by getting as much information that we can and that's available to us, and avoid sort of people expressing opinions about information that we haven't actually yet received. Because as is often the case, when there's new issues that affect the community, there's a lot of rumor going around. There's a lot of things that are being said that haven't necessarily been verified or coming from official sources. So we thought the first step that made sense was to get the committee itself to get a presentation from the applicable city organization and to discuss it and take it from there. So it is true. The joint committee meeting is going to be on the 12th at 7:30. Anyone who wants to is welcome to attend. But it's not a public hearing, it's a committee meeting where we're going to be getting a presentation, discussing it as a committee. If folks are involved in other organizations and think that there are questions or issues that they want to raise to the office, they can feel free to do so in advance. We can try and make sure that they're addressed. I'm sure that is not going to be the only time that this community board in one level or another listens to or deals with this issue, but it is going to be the initial way that we deal with this issue, because it is the way that we deal with essentially all issues that come before the board as a first step. So I saw Ben and Christine. Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. What are the two committees that are holding this hearing? You said it's a joint committee meeting?
Correct. It's Douglasson and Health and Human Services.
Okay, the Douglasson Zoning Committee, you mean? Or?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay, and Health. Okay, thank you.
Of course. Christine? Sorry, Christine, you're on mute. Hold on. Can you unmute yourself?
Yep, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It keeps muting. 2021, I will be beginning 30 years on the board. I just wanted to mention that. I'm very proud of that.
Congratulations. That is definitely something to be proud of. It's fantastic. And thank you for your time and service on the board. It's fantastic. 30 years is quite an accomplishment and quite an amount of service. We appreciate it.
Okay.
But your term limited out.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I think that does conclude board member new business. Appreciate everybody's thoughts and words. It's time for the committee reports section. So what we've been doing lately is we haven't really been going into depth on committee meetings unless there's going to be a vote that occurs. So the two committee meetings that we had this last month was a health committee meeting and a Douglaston zoning committee meeting. We didn't actually take any votes at those meetings, and there's no votes before the board from those meetings. So I'll just ask Eileen and Doug, just because we do, we're not jammed up for time tonight. If either of you had any, you know, everyone got the minutes from those meetings, but I wanted to ask if there was anything that either of you wanted to quickly pass on to the board from those meetings that you thought was material or significant.
I'll let Eileen go first if she'd like.
Sounds like Eileen is saying not necessary. Is that right? Okay. Sorry, yeah, Eileen, you're on mute. But you're on mute there. But we're okay.
Yeah. No, actually, there's really nothing that I have to add, because obviously everyone hears all about it. They know about it and they're sick of it. But all I just want to mention is, anybody has any question that they're not sure of, or they have a concern, or they're worried about something, my number's on the sheet. Feel free to call me. That's about it. Okay.
Thank you so much, Eileen. We appreciate you continuing to make yourself available for questions on COVID. Thank you so much. Doug?
We met with the owners of the car wash, who recently purchased the property next door, the church. And they came to us asking for advice on what they could develop there, and we're not in that position to offer advice on what they can develop. They did talk about rezoning, which I don't necessarily think is a bad idea, especially given the fact that we found so much contaminated soil there in the past 10, 15 years, which is why Mizumi didn't build out, because they found much more contamination than they thought they were gonna find. Mm-hmm. So that may be an advantage to the neighborhood to do something like that. It would also form some kind of cohesion to as what that strip looks like coming into the neighborhood. Right now it's a hodgepodge. It's been a hodgepodge since I've lived in this neighborhood for 25 years. There's nothing ever been coordinated there. So we spoke to them at depth. I said, you can come back to us, but if you're gonna come back to us, I think you should do it with all the property owners and make a presentation in front of the board for it. And we'll hear from there. I've spoken to Sean Walsh about it from Douglaston Civic. And I've spoken to some other people about it, but there's really no vote yet on it because they don't know what they want to do. But I know what he paid for the site is astronomical. So he's going to want to do something. So we have to be very careful, or else we're going to get something like happened at Northern and Douglaston Parkway again. You don't pay $4+ million for a piece of property and not develop it. So we have to be diligent in our duties and in our responses to them. And I hope they come back to us with some kind of reasonable proposal. Because in the past, especially with what happened with Russo, that was not proposal, was not nice. What happened with David Marks on the property behind Macy's was not nice. We don't want to get blindsided again. So I think we really have to take some kind of initiative on this to make sure that we're covered and our neighborhood's covered. That's all I'll say, but we're not going anywhere. It's not going to be for a while. We have plenty of time, but they are looking for some kind of zoning restructuring for that stretch on the one side of Northern Boulevard from Alley Pond Creek up to Alameda Avenue.
Okay. Okay, well, it sounds like another example of, you know, it being a positive thing that we're meeting with people in advance of applications going in. There's nothing up for a vote now, and there's no decisions to actually be made. But, you know, getting that information and being able to give feedback in advance, I think, is a positive thing for the board. And I think you're right in the sense, you know, that you know, this is something that is obviously very sensitive to the communities, you know, zoning rights, you know, and variances, and something that everybody in our community is interested in, and that we want to make sure that we stay on top of. So I think we need to continue to do that and keeping a line of communication along with anyone who's trying to develop a site or get a variance is important to me to keep doing that here.
Michael, I'd like to make a statement.
Go ahead, Bernie. And Christine, Okay. You're next.
I just want to caution the board, just a piece of advice. That particular property has been under contention for many, many years, going back into the 1960s and 1970s. We've had proposals of apartment houses, hotels, apartment complexes, all with zoning, the underlying zoning as an R12. We've been able to sustain, or at least to keep those particular proposals away from Douglaston. We have now a 1-2 R12 underlying zone, which gives us tremendous control of what can go in there, because it can only go in there by variance. And a variance goes with a BSA. And with a BSA, we can always put on amendments to the application. When you get a zoning change, that's it. That's a political decision. And that zoning change is as of right. Now, the zoning change that was that we got last year or 2 years ago, the R6A, my concern during that entire period was that the southern part of Northern Boulevard would be next for a zoning change with a possible R6A to have a continuation of apartment houses all the way down to the bridge at Alley Creek. It's a possibility. We would have no control if the Department of City Planning decides to make a zoning change. And once we suggest a zoning change, even if it's only in a C1 or a C2, it opens the Pandora's box. At this point, we still have an R12, and we have control. The apartment house that's there now on the south side of Northern Boulevard and Douglaston Parkway is on an R12. So is the Bergoglio property, and all the other properties are R12. And over the last, since 1970, we've been able to control that area with the R12 designation and have control over it. Because I'd much rather go to the BSA than going to the City Planning Commission. I just want to caution us, although we have no proposal at this point, I'm very concerned, that a zoning change might open a Pandora's box. So we should be careful on what we propose and what we do when a proposal comes in.
Understood, Bernie. And for whatever it's worth, from my experience in this district, you know, when there are zoning changes that are proposed, it's not lost on the members of the district. Some of the risks that may attach to that, and I think people will be considering that and weighing that. And when this comes back before the committee, you know, of course, you're welcome to come and express that view. I think it's a relevant one, an important one, and something that has to be weighed carefully. Christine?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say the Mitsumi property with the contaminated soil, that has to be cleaned before anything can be built. Now, on my side of the expressway in Board 11, 2008, all the way back, they started to build two family houses and two hotels. And they came and they found the dirt was contaminated. They had to do a whole brownfield project, which the state comes in, because I was reading the report here, and it says, the state has to come in and clean it. Nothing can be done there. So that's maybe Yeah, I don't know what you want to do about that.
Well, I think at this point, there's nothing for us to technically do simply because there's been no technical application filed. But it's certainly something to keep in mind when we have to respond to it. And I think all these points are good ones. You know, as a general matter, this is something that's going to stay on our radar. I'm glad that we had the informational meeting about it. I think that's an important thing for us to do. I think that we want to establish ourselves as the kind of board that people can have these types of conversations with in advance, because I think we have a better chance of getting better outcomes, you know, for the community if we're having an ongoing dialogue with people, especially before they've actually submitted formal applications. Because I think once they do that, there's obviously going to be, you know, a little bit more hesitance to change it. So I think this is a good process. I think we can take it from here. Doug, thank you for the information. We don't have any other committee reports being.
I just want to say,
Michael,
let me finish that sentence. In our case,
Go ahead.
We didn't know in advance of until they started building, and once they started testing the soil, you know, that's when we found out. And then it's years process, years.
Yeah.
But at least we're aware of it this time. I don't know. Might go easier. Who knows?
Hopefully. Hopefully. Paul, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that ever since I've been on this board, which is somewhere between 10 and 15 years, I've continually asked at moments like this that we pursue the city buying all the properties in between Bayside and Douglaston. And I know that's nearly impossible, but it doesn't mean we can't do them piecemeal. Because that's all sensitive land that should all have been part, if it wasn't already developed, it would be part of the alley. It would be a city parkland. And so for us to, and all respects to Doug, but I would never support an upzone. Bernie is absolutely right. If we, at least in this situation, and I know this isn't even an issue right now, but since he planted the seed, you know, the fact that it does have to go to the BSA, that it is an R12 with a variance, we should never let that go. If you get a plan for that space, that space should be planned to go back to nature, and it should be part of the city park department. Thank you.
Okay, so Paul, just to say it, I appreciate that. I just want to say something, guys. I think everyone's view here is important, but we don't have a vote right now on this issue. So this is what I would propose, because I think it is an important issue. So for example, Paul, if you have some ideas, some broader ideas about an initiative that you think is valuable and worth pursuing, and you said that you've talked about it before, send something to me and Joe. I know we've talked a little bit about some zoning ideas that you've had before. Send something to us about a committee that you think would be the appropriate committee to take this up and some ideas. And we can have, you know, essentially a discussion on this topic in detail, you know, with a group of folks that are particularly interested in pursuing it and come up with some specific ideas and put that before the board for a discussion. Because I think this stuff is important. But I think, frankly, it's this type of spitballing and brainstorming is most valuable when you have a smaller group of people that are particularly invested in trying to move that project forward and then can come to this broader group with a specific idea. Because otherwise, the 50 of us all here talking about this, frankly, with limited information on the particular idea at hand, you know, ends up, you know, it's not that it's not interesting. It's perfectly interesting. But I don't know that we're going to make any concrete progress in one way or the other. So that's what I suggest, Paul. And we can set something up at committee level to deal with this and come up with some kind of a proposal. And of course, on the specific issue, you know, with the site about the proposed car wash, we're going to deal with that as it comes. But you know, I think it has been helpful to at least have that discussion. Was there anything new to mention right now from anyone?
No. Okay. I was just concerned about this informational meeting. So if a entity wanted to upzone or change zoning, I didn't believe we would have a meeting with the community board for that idea. So I don't, that's basically, we weren't usually having meetings like that to discuss somebody's idea on what they'd like to do to find out if we would be okay to do it or not do it. So
yeah,
I don't.
In the last year and a half, the Department of City Planning has encouraged developers and property owners to come to the community board pre-certification of any application to test the waters with the community board to see whether or not there's any support for what they're thinking about doing, as to not gum up the system of city planning's ULURP process and zoning changes. That was number one, to give the board a little bit more of a say-so, and to number two, not have somebody waste, you know, to file a ULURP or to file a zoning text amendment change. You know, it can cost somebody between $40,000 and $80,000 usually. And that's just in the application and the fees and whatnot for your representation. So they encourage them to come to us to test the waters first. And if there's a lot of resistance, a lot of times then they'll drop it. Like last year, we had pretty much the same thing with the zoning height authorization behind Macy's.
So this is now something that's going forward we'll be doing. See, I didn't realize that was a new change. Okay.
That's kind of why that's becoming more common.
We did reject it a few years ago. We said you cannot come to the board with your ideas unless you have something concrete to move forward with.
Yeah, it has changed, Eileen, and we have been having those conversations.
And if I can just say, Mike, when we met with them, we said we're not in a position to give you ideas about what you can or cannot do with this property.
That's very important.
Don't ask us if you can build a hotel there. Don't ask us to say, yes, we'll get this through. We just wanted to hear what they wanted to do with it. And we said, come back with a solid concrete proposal and then we'll deal with it. But that's not our position in this. Our position is to either support it or go against it.
Doug, that was very good advice.
Right. Understood. And thanks for that clarification, Doug. Yeah. Okay, guys, appreciate it. I think we're just going to move on to the month ahead and adjournment. So I just wanted to quickly go over the meetings that we do have coming up this month already on the calendar. So we do have that joint meeting of the Doug Zoning and Health and Human Services Committee. That's Tuesday, January 12th on Zoom at 7:30, the topic of that meeting. And we are going to be getting a presentation from DHS. And that is on the proposed shelter in Douglaston. So if you don't have the invite for that and you'd like the office to send it to you, please let us know and we'll do so. Similarly, we have a Health and Human Services Committee meeting. This is not a joint committee, but a committee meeting, but a committee meeting standalone on Tuesday, January 21st at 7:30 on Zoom. And that's going to be to discuss the Bayside Community Ambulance Corp, what you heard about earlier this evening, and to get a presentation from that organization. So last thing I wanted to mention is that it's January, and as some of you who've been on the board for a while may remember, this is the month where historically we've had to get our renewal applications in for community board service if it's your year. Things have been working a little bit differently during the pandemic in terms of deadlines, filing dates, and filing and application procedures. We don't yet have that information from the new borough president's office. But Joe and I have a meeting this week, and we are going to raise that with them to try and get people detailed information. We don't want anybody missing their deadlines or not knowing how they're supposed to get their applications in. So we're going to get some information from borough president, and we're going to update everybody. So please look out for that as part of the digest. And please keep in mind and stay on top of your community board applications. We don't want any foot faults or anyone missing their deadline. That would be unfortunate, and it's a challenge to do anything about it if that occurs. So you're going to be getting further information from the board on that. And I think that is it. So I think
Michael, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Bernie.
For the meeting on January 12th, are there any plans that have been sent to us of what their layout looks like?
No.
I think the short answer to that is no, but if we are supposed to get a presentation. So if we get materials in advance of that presentation and we can communicate with DHS on that, we will circulate that in advance so people have an opportunity to look at them to the extent we get them in advance.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn from Bernie. Second to anybody. Okay, I saw Chris. All right, everybody. Listen, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for coming. Let's have a great
Happy
2021.
New Year, everybody.
I hope it's an improvement. Yeah. Stay safe.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
everyone.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Yeah, Linda, hook me up for a
Happy New Year, everybody. Monday.